be found in this religion. The cause of those evil thoughts is man's selfish motive, which exists due to craving for existence. When we study the life and the teachings of the Buddha, we can see everything is open to everybody. There are no secret doctrines. The events which took place during his whole life were open and no hidden and mystical incidents. In the eyes of the Buddha, so-called supernatural powers to many people are not supernatural but natural phenomena, which ordinary man cannot understand. If the component things are subject to the natural laws of change, decay and death, how can we introduce them as supernatural powers? Even the Buddha's birth, enlightenment and death have also taken place in an open area. He lived as a normal religious teacher. The Buddha has pointed out the process of evolving from animal life into human status, from human status into divine status, divine life into Brahma status, and Brahma life into perfect life. If not, one can proceed from noble, pure life directly into perfect, holy life. The Buddha has pointed out the reverse order as well, that is, going from human life into animal life. The Buddha has advised people to follow the middle path in every aspect of their life. But many people have not realized the real meaning and usefulness of this noble middle path. The deep meaning of this middle path is not only righteous way of life, not only avoiding from two extremes of life, and not only leading a moderate life, but to learn how to use our human senses or faculties without misusing or abusing them. The meaning of the formation of these senses is to protect our life and to avoid certain dangers and to find out our livelihood. But unfortunately, many people spend their whole life only for the indulgence of these senses and misuse them to satisfy only their desires. Finally, they become more crazy but never get the satisfaction. Many immoral practices, cruel deeds, mental disturbances, nervous breakdowns, unhealthy competition, tension and unrest, which are very common in the modern society, are due to this discontented mind which misuse the senses. Then the instinctive power of these senses also gradually starts to decay and many sicknesses appear in the human organs. That is how man pays the price for misusing or overtaxing his own five senses. If there is too much attachment to the sensual pleasure in this world, we have no time to mold and prepare for our future life or the next world. Then it will become a miserable one. The Buddha has advised that it is cruel and unfair for us to destroy any living being. But many other religious teachers have ignored this. Destroying the lives of other living beings
is not the only solution to get rid of the disturbances created by it. The aim of Buddhism is to awaken mankind to the attainment of the highest happiness through clear understanding of life and the nature, but not to create certain imaginations in the mind or to please the emotions of the people or to indulge in uncertain worldly desires, and not to promise eternal mundane pleasure in any way. Buddhism points out the clear picture of both sides of the life. That means the real nature of life and cause of suffering and cause of happiness. Medical theory, science and technology have not discovered any remedy for man's mental pain, frustration and certain unsatisfactoriness of life. The purpose of life is very complicated issue, since different people give different interpretations. However, from the Buddhist point of view, it is only to find out a complete solution for the problems of life and the attainment of unconditioned state of happiness. From the Buddhist point of view, wisdom is based on right understanding and right thought. The realization of universal law and development of insight, but not only the capability of understanding things objectively as they are. Not only seeing the truth, but also to perceive the way for complete liberation of unsatisfactoriness of life. Therefore, real wisdom cannot be found in academic institutions or in the laboratory of scientific research or in a place of worship where people always go and pray or perform certain rites and rituals. This wisdom is within the mind. When the experience, understanding, realization and purification are completed, this wisdom, comprising of the higher perfection, can be seen. The aim of life is attainment of this wisdom. Man can get rid of the worldly natural forces which are not favorable for him by strengthening and purification of his mind and attain to Brahmanate state of happiness where these forces have no power to function anymore. One philosopher has said that religion contradicts all that man has ever experienced. If it is so, Buddhism does not belong to that type of religion, since the Buddha has taught us everything through his experience. Many philosophers and great thinkers and scientists have used only their worldly knowledge, thinking power and wisdom to find out many things and have expressed their views. Through such intellectual knowledge, it is impossible to understand the real nature of the phenomena or characteristics without purification of the mind. When we study certain statements made by some scholars, we can see some truth in their sayings. But many of those things remain as dry philosophy because they have used only their brain with certain illusion and egoism. But the Buddha has used his mind and heart both as refined human intelligence with compassion and wisdom to understand the things as they are proper perspective. That is why his teaching never has become a dry philosophy. Yes, but a practical method to solve human problems. Many scientists and great thinkers and philosophers have adopted a hostile attitude towards religion. They say religion hinders the progress of mankind and misleads them by introducing ridiculous, superstitious beliefs and practices and try to keep away people from the facts discovered by science. But when we define the way how they explain the meaning of religion, we can understand that Buddhism does not belong to those religious groups. Therefore, in time to come, if those intellectuals are going to oust or refute religion, it is impossible for them to throw away Buddhism as a false religion. Because the Buddha has revealed absolute truth. If there is truth anywhere, that will remain forever as a truth. If it is changeable, then it is not absolute truth. That is why the truth revealed by the Buddha is called noble truth. That truth leads man to be a noble man. Therefore, at least, there will remain a noble, righteous way of life which is strong enough to face any intellectual and scientific challenge. In that respect, the Buddha's message is unshakable. Intellectuals should give due respect to this way of life if they really can understand what the Buddha taught. Therefore, teachings of the Buddha will continue to be a way of life, continue to aspire for a noble, holy and perfect life, a life of peace and happiness, whether religious labels exist or not in the future. Another important point that Buddha has taught us is how to live and work and cooperate with the followers of other religions without disturbing them while practicing our own religion. This type of liberal religion is very important to live peacefully without religious prejudices and conflicts. The Buddha's peace message of tolerance is remarkable. It is a great virtue and useful for peaceful coexistence in any country, with any race or at any time. The freedom that the followers of the Buddha enjoy in this world is commendable. In fact, many Buddhists have not yet realized this. We have full freedom to judge and to think, either to accept or to reject anything. We are not bound to accept anything in the name of religion, either simply by thinking the greatness of the religious teacher, or by thinking that it is our duty to accept just because those teachings are found in our holy scriptures, or because they are our traditions or customs. Buddhists are at liberty to investigate and to accept if agreeable with their own convictions. Buddhists do not accept or reject anything without any sensible reason. They never say that they are forbidden to this or that. They say that they do not like to do this because it creates some trouble or miseries or pain or disturbance among the masses. They do certain good deeds not because Buddhism asks them to do so, but by realizing the value and meaning of such good practices for the welfare of others. This is a religion of freedom which never restricts the personal affairs of the man if they are not immoral or harmful. Buddhists have full freedom to organize their family affairs without violating the basic religious principles. This religion is like a gold mine to intellectuals to do some research work and to find out the deep aspect of psychology, philosophy, science, and the universal law, and for the spiritual development and for the liberation of mankind from unsatisfactoriness and unrest. That is why, for more than 2,000 years, Buddhists could manage to convince the masses almost in every Asian country. At that time, people invited and welcomed the Buddha's teaching as a peace message or a goodwill message. That is why Buddhists could manage to introduce this religion without any difficulty. This is the only religion which explains to mankind through experience, realization, wisdom, and enlightenment of the founder of this religion without introducing it as a message given by a god. Because human problems must be understood by a human being through human experience by developing great humane virtues and also find out the solution to tackle these problems by a human being through the purification and development of that human mind, but not by outsiders. That is why the Buddha did not introduce himself as a supernatural savior. He did not acknowledge that there is such a savior. According to him, we are the only savior who saves ourselves. The three characteristics of everything in this universe is clearly explained only in this religion. They are impermanency of everything, unsatisfactoriness of everything, and the impersonality or unsubstantiality of everything. This is the most remarkable discovery of the Buddha. But it is due to ignorance of mankind, very few people can understand this kind of lofty and sublime teaching. Another important aspect in this religion is the explanation of the main cause of human problems and suffering. According to the Buddha, we are facing all these problems in this mundane world due to our strong craving which exists in our mind. The Buddha has revealed that there are three kinds of craving forces in our mind, and these are responsible for our existence, rebirth, and all the other thousands of problems and mental disturbances. They are craving for existence, craving for worldly or sensual indulgence, and craving for non-existence. To understand the real meaning of this interpretation of the Buddha, we have to think about this very carefully and wisely until realization comes to us. World-famous philosophers also have explained the same three forces in different languages as cause of existence. Arthur Schopenhauer explained these three forces as sexuality, self-preservation, and suicide. Psychologists like Sigmund Freud explain the same thing as libido, ego instinct, and death instinct. Another psychologist, Carl Jung, says, from the sources of instinct spring forth everything creative. Now, look at how great intellectuals have realized to support the truth revealed by the Buddha. However, when we examine these explanations, we can understand that the Buddha has gone beyond the understanding capacity of other great thinkers regarding these issues. This is a religion in which we can find real religious principles which can be maintained without changing. The same basic idea and principle at any time, anywhere, under any circumstances. The understanding capacity of the value of these religious ideas may disappear from the man's mind. Man may experience the difficulty of practicing these principles in a corrupted society, but the value of these precious golden disciplines will be appreciated by every culture and understanding man at any time. Mr. Nehru, the former Prime Minister of India, has mentioned in his book, The Discovery of India, Buddha had the courage to point out the unsatisfactoriness of popular religion, superstition, ceremony, and priestcraft. He was not interested in the metaphysical and theological outlook, miracles, revelation, and dealing with supernatural. His appeal was to reason, logic, and experience. His emphasis was on ethics, and his method was one of psychological analysis. A psychology without a soul. His whole approach comes like the breath of the fresh wind from the mountain after the stale air of metaphysical speculation. Now, we can understand Buddhism is not merely a religion, but a true life of good living. Buddhism is the religion of salvation from evil by enlightenment. It is also a spiritual commonwealth. In fact, Buddhism has gone beyond the limits of religion. Mr. Nehru again has said, the path that the Buddha showed is, I believe, the only path humanity must tread if it is to escape disaster. Dr. Radhakrishnan, the former president of India, has mentioned the Buddha was the first to throw intelligent light on the mind process. Again he has said, if Buddhism appealed to the modern mind, it was empirical, scientific, and not based on any dogma. When he was inspired by the teachings of the Buddha, Radhakrishna says, as much as man's understanding capacity is deep, Buddhist philosophy is the only teaching that can penetrate into the bottom of that deep knowledge. In the eyes of the Buddha, every man is a religious man if he is good, sincere, honest, kind, and if he lives without disturbing others. Such a person can be a follower of any religion, or even a person without any religious brand. Yet, if such a person could manage to purify his mind from various defilements or evil thoughts, then he will be able to enjoy a happy, peaceful, contented life and finally attain everlasting happiness. According to the Buddha, only three things are important for a man to be religious. He must have good thoughts, use good words, and practice good deeds. I hope that above mentioned facts and reasons are more than enough to understand why Buddhism.